a name as Mark. Who knows? Who knows what kind of a name Mark is? Cindy, you know what kind of name Mark is?
Latin.
Mary, what is it?
Latin.
That's, there you go. A plus already tonight. It's Latin and it's Marcio. And Marcio means what? To dry out. Now, Mark had two names. He had a Latin name, which was brought straight into Greek from Latin, and he had a Hebrew name. What was the Hebrew name?
John.
John, or Iwane, or Jonah. All right? So we have John, his Hebrew name, and Mark, his Greek or Latin name. There are a lot of Latin phrases and Aramaic phrases used in the Gospel of Mark. And in the Gospel of Matthew, wherever Jesus is using the Hebrew or Aramaic, it says, it will quote it and what we call just transliterate it. It doesn't translate it. Talitha kume, that is an Aramaic term. And what does that mean? Talitha kume. Talitha kume. You remember that one, Cindy? Marilyn. Talitha kume. Made arise. There's the scholar in the bunch tonight. Made arise, Talitha kume, and that's Aramaic. All right. Eli, eli, lama sabachthani. Okay. What language is that? No, that's Hebrew. Eloi, eloi, lama sabachthani. That's Aramaic. See, it's very clear. One's in Aramaic and one is in Hebrew. And these terms or phrases are quoted because he actually spoke in that language. But all the rest of the thing is writing it in Greek. Because Greek is what kind of language is it? What is Koine Greek? The common language of all the people throughout all the lands. It was, and who introduced the Koine Greek language into the Western world? Alexander the Great. Who was his father?
Philip
and Macedon. All right. What is Attic? What is an Attic word? From Athens. That was a dialect from Athens. Okay. And Iconian. That is a word from Iconia. There's many others. These are what we call the dialects. The Greek language evolved. It came from the dialects and then it went into classical Greek, which was the beautiful, beautiful language, classical Greek. And then, as Alexander the Great conquered the whole Western world and went all the way into India and all over the place, down into Egypt and wherever, he introduced that language to all those cultures, and he introduced his, what we call, philosophy and political views. And there we have democracy. We have democracy, which comes from that very language, democracy. All what we call medical and scientific terms come from what language? Greek. Greek. What terms come from Latin? The legal term, because the Latin language became the legal language of the what we call the Holy Roman Empire under Constantine the Great. It became, they forbid all Bibles to be preached in anything but Latin, and the people did not know Latin, only the educated people, the doctors, the lawyers, the judges, and all of those knew Latin only. And so the common man didn't know what the Bible taught. So if you're going to teach other than what the Bible teaches, you have to take the Bible out of their hands and the understanding of God's Word out of their hands. Mark was probably the first gospel ever written. And there is a piece of the Gospel of Mark that was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. All right? Found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's the oldest. And it was before A.D. 70. It's probably between 50 and 70 A.D. when the Gospel of Mark was written. And it's written through whose eyes? You remember that one, Cindy? Marilyn? All right. Through Peter's eyes. Because Mark, his mother was Mary of Jerusalem. And Mary of Jerusalem was probably a convert of Peter. And this is one of the earliest Gospels. Mark is a very brief Gospel. It's like a Reader's Digest compiled brief, you know, condensed version. In other words, everything that happened in Jesus in the other Gospels, it does not tell everything about it, but it tells the basic things here in the Gospel of Mark. And the Gospel of Mark is not as long as it is in your King James Bible and other ones. The 16th chapter from verses 9 onward is changes a writer. A different writer wrote that. And so we have that, and we have some heresies come out of that last part of the Gospel of Mark, which we don't get to yet, but we will see it. Mark was known as John Mark also. And he was at one time one of Peter's interpreters, either in Rome or in Babylon in 1 Peter 5:13. He used many Aramaic words and Hebrew words in his gospel, probably used them because Peter spoke Aramaic, and Mark had listened to him much. Now, Peter also spoke Greek. We know all of them spoke Greek because they wrote in Greek. 1 and 2 Peter are written in Greek. Peter was not a real dumb, illiterate man like people say that he was a dumb fisherman. He was not. He was introduced to the classics of the day from Greek. He knew the philosophers. He knew all of this. And he quotes them, even though he doesn't say this guy said this, but he quotes and he uses all of these sayings and phrases that are common at that time. We use a lot of colloquialism and what we call vernacular terms. Cotton picking. You know, all of the times, all different things that we use, that we use in our common language that they would not, you know, cotton picking. Cotton picking money. How many of you know what cotton picking money is? Young lady? You know what cotton picking money is? What is it? A fistful of dollar bills. A cotton roll. A fistful of dollar bills, because they used to pay you instantly when you picked the cotton and you took it in there and weighed it, which I did out there on the farm where I live. I picked cotton out there, took it up and dumped it in the trailer, and when I got down there, they handed me ever how much. It was 6 cents a pound. So if I had $100 of cotton, I got $6. And it was all in $1 bills. And you'd have this big roll of $1 bills in your pocket if you were lucky. And that's what's called cotton picking money. Paul uses terms like that. He uses them. Live, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. These were, even the Old Testament prophets quoted pagans sometimes, because they were familiar with these terms. And this is what we call a teaching tool, because they knew what these terms meant. Okay? Some of the Aramaic words were Boanerges, sons of thunder, Talithakume, made arise, and 5:3:17, and then 5:41, Korbon, 7:11, Ephatha, 7:34, Abba, Father, 14:36. There are many Latin phrases also, such as centurion. That's where we get the word centurion. Centurion is a Latin term. And quadrants of men, 1242. Phragelosos, having scourged, 15:15. Spectator, 6:27. Specudatara, executioner. Census, canon, that is. And tribute, sextarius. And estone, utensils. Proterium, 15:6. Some say Mark first wrote his gospel in Aramaic, but this is very, very doubtful. He used the Aramaic terms, but he wrote in Greek. And he wrote Greek like he was thinking Hebrew. Okay, he wrote Greek like he was thinking Hebrew. Now, the Latin term marcio means to dry out. That's what his name meant. And what did John mean in Hebrew?
Dove.
Jonah, dove. Mark was also a relative of Barnabas. Some say a cousin, and some say a nephew. Son of Mary of Jerusalem. Mark's gospel is shortest of the four gospels, but his language is vivid and powerful and full of action. Now, to whom it was addressed, it's generally thought that Mark had in mind the Roman Gentile Christians, even though why problem did Paul have with Mark? Cindy, you remember what kind of problem he had with him, Marilyn? What kind of problem did...
With Mark?
Yes. He didn't like him. No. What did he do?
He's a Judaizer.
He's a Judaizer, and he left them when there were too many Gentile converts. He took off and went back to Jerusalem because he didn't want to rub elbows with these people and sit around with these people eating unclean foods. And Paul got mad at him and wouldn't have him for a while. Matter of fact, Barnabas and Paul split up over John Mark. But here we have John and Mark writing the gospel according to Mark. Now let's read it. R.K. Tu Yolongaliu. Esu Christu. And then it says, in brackets, huios theou. Now, beginning, R.K. What is the word in Hebrew for that? Cindy, you remember that one? Rosh. So Rosh. Barashit means in the beginnings. Barashit in the book of Genesis. Barashit. And by the way, the book of Genesis is not named after the Hebrew Barashit as it is in the Hebrew Bible. It's Barashit, the first word in the Hebrew Bible. That's what they named the book. It's named Genesis from the Greek, from the Septuagint. Arche, beginning of the tu Evangeliu, beginning of the gospel. And what does the gospel mean? Good message. All right, we have good angel here. Preachers are good angels, good messengers. And beginning of the gospel of Esau. And what does Esau mean? What does it come? What Greek or not? What Hebrew word does it come from? What? Joshua. What does Joshua mean? Jehovah saves. Joshua means Jehovah saves. And then we have Christus here. Christu. And Christu, the Hebrew equivalent is Hamashiach, which means the anointed one. Christo comes from kreo, which means to oil or to anoint, the anointed one. Now, the Jews are still having problems today because they say that Jesus was not the King of Israel and was not the Christ. They're still looking for the Christ. And that's their problem. When they rejected him, they rejected the King of the kingdom. They rejected their King and the kingdom of God, which Jesus offered to them on a silver platter. And he did all kinds of miracles. He did all the things that the Old Testament scriptures said that he should do as the Messiah King. And yet they rejected him. Pontius Pilate declared that he was what? The King of the Jews. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He said that. That's his finding court. That he was a legal king if Herod was not the legal king. Because Joseph was supposed to have been on the throne before Jesus was. Okay? The gospel, the good news of Jehovah saves, Yahshua Christu, the anointed one. And then it has here, Quios Theou. And that would be Bene Ha'elohim, the Son of God. Son of God. Now, the law and the prophets were unto what? Until John the Baptist, until the preaching of John. After that, what? The kingdom of God is preached. So now we have the kingdom of God preached. Let's see about what John was preaching. Kathos, Yegrapte, in to Isaiah, tu prophete, idu, apostolo, ton angelon, mu prosopo, su hos kara skeu ase, ten hudon su. Just as it has been written. Look at that one. Third person singular, perfect, indicative passive. Just as it has been written in the Isaiah. And it also is in Malachi. Malachi said that he will send Elijah before, and Jesus said, who was John the Baptist? But Elijah, the one that should come forth. Isaiah the prophete. What does prophete mean? It comes from pro and fatio. Proenthetio. What does it literally mean? Proenthetio. It means to say before. Now, when you say something before it's going to happen, that's prophecy, isn't it? That's prophecy. Edu, behold. All right? Behold. This is a what we call an imperative. Behold. You look, actually. You see with your eyes. I send, first person singular, present indicative, I send the angel, the messenger. And we have that in Isaiah, and we have that in Malachi. I send the messenger of me before the face of you, who he shall make ready, build up, prepare the way of you. Now, back in this period of time, before the Roman Empire, we had the we have way back down, we have the what empire? The Assyrian Empire. We had we have the Egyptian Empire. We have the Assyrian Empire. We have the Babylonian Empire. We have the Medo-Persian Empire. We have the Greek Empire. And we have the Roman Empire. Okay, and then after that, what happened? What big empire ruled the Middle East? The Ottoman Empire, the Muslim Empire. Okay, and in the book of Revelation, it says that the last empire will be a vision of the what? The seventh, which was what? The Ottoman, the Muslim Empire. So in the last days, arise again will be the Muslim Empire that will take over the world. And it will be, the book of Revelation talks about beheadings. That's a form of execution of this empire. And it will be televised all over the world. They'll see it all over. Is that happening today?
Well, the president just elected to one of the high courts, a Muslim, the first Muslim judge.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, he won't go according to the laws of our land. He'll go according to Sharia law. They do not believe in obeying any other constitution but Sharia. We know that. Just as it has been written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send the messenger, the angel, the messenger of me, before the face of you. Now, there was supposed to be a road crew that went out before the king was coming, all the way back into those ancient empires, and they would flatten out the roads. Sometimes if there was a bump in the road, they would straighten it out, like you go through the canyon. They tore away whole mountains sometimes, and they did back then the same thing. They would make the road smooth, and if the emperor, the ruler, the potentate, came along and the road was too rough, he said, "Who lives here? And you paid for it." Well, the messenger, Jehovah, before Jehovah comes, there will be a messenger go forth and flatten out the roads for him. And what did John say? Repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of God is near, right at hand. And he said he will make ready, build up, and prepare the road of you. 1 and verse 3. Phone, boontos, ento eremu, het toi masete, tein hodon, triu, eutheos, poiete, tas tribus, altu. The sound of one crying. The sound of one crying. Now, Marilyn, up there in Nevada, we were out there sound carried for a long ways. One night up there, I heard a bull and a cow bawling. Boo! They do. They bawl. They'll just sit out there and bawl. Now, that's the term. What other animals make this growled, loud, bawling noises? What kind do?
Camels.
Camels make noises. What else? Chickens. Chickens crow.
Peacocks.
A peacock scream. Pheasants holler with a sharp shrill. What other kind of mammals? What other?
Coyotes
howl, wolves howl, donkeys bray and mules bray, and hyenas make a sound, and what else?
Horses.
Mules. The horses don't do much. They'll nicker a little bit and everything, but the braying sound comes from a donkey, from a zebra. They will make these loud noises, bawling noises. And all of this is like, it's like the voice of one crying. It's like a bull bawling, a cow bawling in the wilderness. boo, you know, crying in the desert, in the wasteland. Make and prepare. Second person plural, first aorist, imperative active. First aorist is what? Punctiliar action. How many messiahs came? A lot of them came, but only the true one came once, okay? Make straight and prepare ye the road of the Kyrio. And that there you can put down Jehovah down there if you want to. The despotes, Jehovah, the one who shall become. Now he uses the word here, he uses the word euthys very much, and that means immediately, 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 immediately. And he uses the imperfect tense a lot. We're going to see him using the imperfect tense because it's so much like the Hebrew action in the Old Testament. Okay, make the way, the road, the path of the Lord straight. The path of the Lord straight. Make ye the path, and this means down a beaten down patch. How many of you gone through Kern Canyon lately? How about up there in Tatchabee? You ever look at the sides of those mountains up there, and you'll see little paths like this all over. There's little paths like this all over, up and down, little switchbacks. You know what that is? That's a beaten down path. And other animals follow that. I remember, you hear about the trailblazers. You know, different trailblazers. Walker, Joseph Walker. You know, these different real famous Jeremiah Johnson. All of these were trailblazers. They weren't trailblazers. All they did was follow Indian trails that were already beaten down there. You can go up on Greenhorn Mountain and you can follow all kinds of animal trails and you can see what's on the track because they leave their signature. Marilyn, what did you find up there in Fish Lake Valley the other day about that big? What was it?
A mountain lion track.
A mountain lion track. And I showed you a great big coon track where it pressed down into the dirt, and if these animals go there a lot, it wears the ground down, and that's what this word tribus means. It means to wear down. To wear down. Deer tracks. Lion tracks. Chukar tracks. Quail tracks. Dove tracks. Lion and bear tracks. I was down there the other day and I looked down there and it looked like a human's track almost. I said, oh boy. But it wasn't big enough. That was a good thing. And it was a bear track. A bear track. Now, I didn't see a bear. I didn't see the lion. I didn't see the raccoon. But I saw where they had smashed down the road and left their imprints in the deal. When you go along, I used to go up and do a lot of coon hunting in these mountains and bear hunting and everything else. And sometimes I'd have to trail myself back. One night I was up there above Lake Isabella, and it was snowing so hard and so foggy that you couldn't see your hand in front of you. I was following this creek. I went down and followed this creek, and the dogs were running along the creek because they were chasing this coon. And when I got down there so far, it got so bad and snowing so hard that I had to get down literally and put my face in that creek to find out which way it was flowing and follow that out. When I was in Fish Lake Valley, I showed Marilyn where this was the other day. I was in a flash flood. And that road is pretty well graded out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I walked for 2 miles in a flash flood, through a flood this deep in mud and rocks and stones and tree branches and all kinds of branches coming out, all the sagebrush and everything just washing me away. I was just full of mud. And I got out there finally on dry ground, got out of that. I thought I was all right, and it started raining and lightning, and a ball of lightning hit the ground right in front of me and closed my retinas. So I had to feel my way for 7 miles. I showed you where I felt my way with my feet on the beaten path. When I go one way too much, I could feel the brush on the side of the road where it was and where the road would go like this, the beaten path. That's what it's talking about here, the tribos, the path of him. Make the paths of him. Cows cause these tracks. Deer cause these tracks. Mules. donkeys, all of these. Aganato, Aeonas, Ho Baptizon, Ente Eremu, Kruson, Baptisma, Metanoias, Ace, Aphason, Amartion. Amartion. And he came, John. Now there's a correction down there you have to make, because when I wrote this thing a long time, this is the first gospel that I ever translated. And when I had done this, I didn't know any better. So I made a mistake, because I believed what everybody else said until I found out for myself about 20 years ago. And it surprised me, and I'll get to it in a minute. And he became, third person singular, second aorist, indicative middle. He came for himself, John. John had an unction from his mother's womb, did he not? He was filled with the Holy Spirit before he was ever born. So here we have a guy that is born saved. And the Bible said he will be the least in the kingdom of God. Why? Because there was no volition with him. No volition. That throws your supralapsarian and, you know, antilapsarian business and even your infralapsarian business a real curve. He would be least in the kingdom of God, yet there was no greater prophet, said. He came, John, the one baptizing, the one dipping. That's what it says there, the one immersing all the time. In one of the translations that I have at home, it says, it calls him John the Dipper, John the Immerser, and that's how it should be translated. He is not John the Sprinkler, he is not John the Pourer, but he is John the Dipper, because at that time there was no other form of baptism until the Catholic Church and some of these others invented it later on. Baptizo means what? To immerse. What is the Latin equivalent of baptizo? Mergio. We get our word immerse right straight from that. What does the word rontizo mean?
Pour.
The sprinkle. What does the word nipto mean? To pour. These are the other forms. If they were really that form of baptism, they would have used those forms of baptism. They had the mitzvahs all around Jerusalem. Every girl, when she was going to get married, she was baptized. She died to her old people. And every proselyte, he was shaved from head to toe, and he was baptized. And he died to his old ethnic background and raised anew. And they baptized, they dipped people all the time. He came, John, the one baptizing, one dipping in the wilderness, the uninhabited region, proclaiming. Now, this is the word Caruso. We have a real famous singer by the name of Caruso. Caruso came to America, and he met my cousin. And he said, my cousin was the greatest singer in the whole United States. He said he had the greatest voice of any person that he'd ever heard. Who was my cousin, Marilyn? Do you remember? I know that was one of them. Fatty Arbuckle, the actor. Fatty Arbuckle could sing like an opera singer. He was he was real heavy, but he was an acrobat. He could fall down, bounce right up, just bounce, just like a ball, bouncing back up. He was a great acrobat, and he had a tremendous voice, but he was in the silent movies. And he was saying, he would do vaudeville, and sing. That is the word Caruso there. It means to cry out. Now, many times in Hebrew, in the Greek language, they cry out, and they would, especially the Hebrew psalms are songs, aren't they? So they'd sing them loud, proclaiming, announcing a baptism of repentance. Now, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to him, and the priests and the Levites, what did Jesus say to them? Who calls you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth what? Fruits of repentance before you're baptized. Turn away from that old stuff. John, in the Gospel, John records Jesus talking to a Pharisee there. And he told him, you need to be baptized. You need to die to your old self and be raised anew. Die to his old religious background because it was corrupt. And raised anew. And came John, the one dipping in the desert, in the wilderness, proclaiming, crusoeing, a baptism of repentance. Ace aphason hamartion. Ace there means, what is the rule of ace, the grammatical rule? It's written right down there. Almost.
Extension
or limitation of thought or verbal action. It can go forward or backwards, and here it goes backwards. It is a baptism because of repentance. When you repent, then you can be baptized. This is what we call believer's baptism. And John the Baptist demanded believer's baptism. He demanded that people were baptized because they had received repentance. And it said here, eis athesin hamartion. That means that sitting there, that athesin there means a deliverance from captivity. It means a sending away, a putting away. It means a pardon. It means a remission of sins. All right, the word sins here, I said missing the mark. That does not mean missing the mark. Astokio means missing the mark. Chatha is a Hebrew term for that, to miss the mark. But here we go astray. We go astray. We're gone astray. How many of you ever seen a flood? You ever seen a flood? Marilyn, when we were up there in Fish Lake Valley, did we see signs of floods in the past?
All over.
All over up there, floods, yeah. floods. And where do the floods usually come from?
They come from the mountains.
They come from the creeks.
And the creeks.
Where the creeks were. And the creeks break their banks. When I was in that flood out there where that river that wasn't normally there was coming down 2 miles wide, the creeks had all overflowed and washed out the road in 11 places between where I live now in Fish Lake Valley, Chattahoochee Creek, all the way to the end of the valley. There were places there that there were mountains of rock and debris across the road. And they had to take bulldozers and grade all of that off. And when you went through them, it looked like you were going through a cave almost, or the side of a mountain. I showed her down there, the Smith Ranch. The Smith Ranch was completely covered up when that flood came across there, and it was over 10 feet deep across that road. This is what we call a hamartia. It's the word amaro, which means to go out of bounds. When those creeks go out of bounds, they cause damage, don't they? I was down there walking through a river that was 2 miles wide that wasn't there a few minutes before that. That was something else. That was hamartia, amaro. The water had gone out of bounds and was going someplace else. That whole valley there, the whole north end of the valley was a fish lake again at that time. Of course, the fish lake was still there when that happened. But it was all underwater because of amario, hamartia. When we go out of bounds with our lives, when you're saved, why do you serve the Lord? To keep saved? No, because you love God. You have an unction in you that makes you want to come here tonight after you've worked all day and driven to Porterville and back. It's an unction that makes you want to learn when you've worked all day long and done all these other things, and then you say, I got to go learn something else, something that is going to instill in me a love of God and makes me want to serve Him more. And that's what we're doing here. This is what we call the discipleship class. The word mathetes means what? Habitual learners. 1 and verse 5, yes. 1 and verse 5. Kai, ek e poru eto. Pros, alto, pasa, he, Judea, kora, kai, hoi, Jerusalem, ta, pontes, kai, e baptizonta. Heap, autu, ento, Jordano, Potomo ex u mo logu menoi ta samarkias auton. And look at here, here's one of the imperfects right here in middle voice. And the crowd kept on pouring out and kept on pouring out toward him like a river. Now, we just talked about going out of bounds a marrow a while ago. We have a flood of our sins going out of bounds. What we know. We know what God wants us to do. We know what by our own heart condemns us, don't we, when we go the wrong way? Our heart condemns us when we go the wrong way. We read the Word of God and it condemns us also. But there is that spirit in you when you're born again that will kind of make sin not fun. Simple as that. And it kept on pouring out, and we're talking about all the cities and all of Jerusalem. Toward him, all the whole Judea. Judea. Province, country, region, and the Jerusalems. All right? All the inhabitants of Jerusalem, north, south, east, and west, and everything in between. There are several gates from Jerusalem. The Damascus Gate, the Sheep Gate, all of these different gates in Jerusalem, the Golden Gate. All of these different gates, and they led out of Jerusalem, and all of those gates had people flowing out of them like a flood. He's using figure of speech here, a picture language. A.T. Robertson wrote the word pictures of the New Testament, and here we have this word picture of the New Testament here. The inhabitants of Jerusalem all, and they kept on being dipped, they kept on being immersed. Third person plural, imperfect, indicative, passive. They kept on being dipped. They didn't dip themselves, they were dipped. By the agency of Him, in the Jordan, the Jordan River. What does the word Jordan mean? Descending. The Jordan River, and that is locative singular, and it's not with the Jordan River, but it's in the Jordan River. And they kept on confessing out openly, non-referral, imagined, present participle, middle voice, for themselves. They kept on confessing their sins, the sins belonging to them. What sins do you have that belong to you? Huh?
A lot. All of them.
You know who they belong to? If you've been born again, they belong to Jesus. He took them away and put them as far as the east to the west and far as the depths of the sea, and that is what we call forgiveness. That is good, to have forgiveness. And when we do something wrong, we get convicted by our hearts and by the Holy Spirit. Kai ein ho oanes. Endedumenos. Trikos kamalu kai zonain. Dermatinain, peritain, osfun, autu, kai, estion, akridas, kai, meli, agrion. We have a lot of words coming out of English in this verse. Sorry we got started late tonight. And he kept on being the John. Look at that. He kept on being the John. Having been clothed. Present perfect passive, or middle voice. He kept on clothing himself with hairs of a camel. Camel hair. All right? Camel hair and a belt of animal skin. Look at that word, dermatinain. What word in English do we have that? What scientific term do we have?
What is it?
Dermatologist. Oh. Okay, dermis, epidermis, hypodermis. All of these are terms. What do you get something when you got hypodermis? You got a splinter or an infection under the skin. Epidermis, it means upon the skin. Hypodermis means under the skin. Dermis means skin. And it's also leather. Around the loins of him. Around his the loins of him. That's hips. The hips of him. And eating. Eston. Nominee singular, masculine, present, participle, active. Eating. Estio. Kati estio means to eat down. Now I want you to think about your... Did you guys have dinner tonight? Some of you supper? No, me neither. Oh, me neither. Okay, I didn't have any. I haven't got time to eat once I came back here. I used to eat up there. I would cook this fantastic breakfast every day, wouldn't I? I'd make hash brown potatoes, and I'd have sugar peas in it, and I'd have carrots and mushrooms sometimes, and onions and all this, and I'd stir fry this and make it really crisp, and I'd turn that over with olive oil. You know, I'd cook it in olive oil. And then I'd cook eggs, different kind of, you know, scrambled eggs, sunny side up, over easy, whatever, and with ham and what?
They're special ones.
Yeah, I would make some of them, cook them in the microwave, like the egg McMuffins. I'd put them up there, put a piece of cheese on top of it, and then throw it, cut it in half out of this bowl, and give her half and me half of it, and then we'd have all this up, and we got to eat breakfast. And then I got busy. And sometimes I've cooked so much that we couldn't eat it all, so I could come back in and throw it, eat. I'll eat it cold when I'm hungry, won't I?
Yes,
it doesn't matter. She always said, I have to have my food hot. And I thought, I'm just a savage Indian. Just give it to me anyway, as long as it's edible. I can swallow it. So I eat to live. I don't live to eat. I have to stay alive. And so I would do that. And today was one of those days. Mm-hmm. Didn't have time to eat. He kept on eating. He kept on eating. Akritos. Now in the book of Revelation, it uses the word akritos also. Now, there's a word arbe, which means locust, in Exodus 10 and verse 4. And there's the word geb, which means locust or grasshopper, in Isaiah 33 and verse 4. And there's the word chagab, which means grasshoppers, in 2 Chronicles 7:13. And the word tislat sol, a shadow or figure. Now, Sharon, you've been down in the Middle East. You've been down in Egypt. When those locusts come over sometimes, it just blocks the sun, doesn't it? And that's the term. It means a locust plague or cloud. It means cloud. A cloud of locusts, Deuteronomy 28:42. And then we have the word salom, which means bald or devouring locusts, Leviticus 11, verse 22. Now the word akris, akritos, that means to walk on tiptoes. Now while I was up there in Fish Lake down Valley the other day, I turned over a piece of wood, and guess what was under that piece of wood? Akritos. Something to walk on tiptoes that had little pinchers in front and had a tail up and back. That's a scorpion. Okay? But I didn't see as many out there in the woods as I did in my front yard or my living room here this summer. Several times scorpions would walk right across in front of me when I was preaching. And I'd have to really control myself because I didn't want that thing getting loose and getting around. One time I cut the thing short and went over there, boom, just like that, and got him. Remember that one, Marilyn?
Yeah.
And I'm so surprised I'd see so many of them. They just kept on coming from somewhere. 1 and verse 6. Kai ein ho awanes. Now, wait a minute. That's where we were before we stopped, wasn't it? All right. Now, eating locust, and this is not locust beans. This is real locust. We find in the Leviticus 11:22, they're permitted to eat these locusts. And if you watch the movie Hidalgo, remember when the guy was out there with his Mustang and running the Mustangs in that race over there in Arabia that had a locust plague, and then he ate some of those, the horse ate some of them. They're edible.
Well, they must have been like fresh fried dipped in honey.
Yeah.
They're full of protein.
And mille. Mille. Mille means honey. Mille means honey. And then we have the word agrion. We got a word agriculture from that. You grow agriculture. They used to have cities, compound cities, gated communities. That's where you slept at night. And everything outside of that was agria. That was agriculture. Wild is what it means, belonging to the field. Wilds. 1 and verse 7. And we'll quit right here when we do this. 1 and verse 7. Kai ekrusein legon erkete ho es kiroteros mu opiso mu u uk emi, amy that is, hikanos kipsos lise ton hamarton, or hamarta that is, ton hippo de maton. Altu. And he kept on proclaiming. He kept on crying out, as a bull would cry out, saying, he comes. He's coming for himself. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word kept on being God. That's what it says. And the Word, because the Word was God. John 1:14 says, Kai ho logos arche genito, and the Word, the Jehovah flesh, he became and dwelt among us. And he keeps on saying, he said, there's one coming for himself. And in John 1:14 and John 1:18, where it says, and the Word became flesh, and Jehovah became flesh, it's in the middle voice, isn't it? And John 1:18 says, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has led himself out. Middle voice. And right here it uses the same term. He's going to come for himself. He's going to bring himself, the one stronger, mightier than me. That's a comparative. After me, who not I am befitting to stoop down, non-singular masculine, first aorist participle, to be stooping down to loose the thongs of the underbinders of him. Underbinders, that means sandals. And your shoes carry. You have sandals. And they have something that binds your foot to the sandals, don't they? That's the little part of there. Sharon, you have underbinders on top of you. That Cindy's got her thongs that bind her feet to them. They go across and hold them down. I'm not fitting to having stooped down to loose the thongs of the sandals of him. So we went 1 through 7, didn't we? Do you have any questions? Any questions? What? Yes.
In Hebrew, in Genesis, when God walked with them in the garden with Adam and Eve before they sinned, when he walked with them in the garden, was it God or was it the theophany of God? Because it says that nobody's ever seen my face and lived.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering.
It was Jesus in his pre-incarnate form.
So it was actually Jesus.
It was Jesus, Jehovah.
Before he became man.
That actually, it says Jehovah walked with him. Jehovah personally intervened with Cain. Jehovah spoke to Cain and said, "Why is your nose red?" That's what he said to him in Hebrew. "Why is your nose red? Don't you? If you cut straight, if you divide right, if you tithe, and if you do the right things, won't your face shine? Smile?" But now your nose is red. You're mad. You're mad. Angry people, ready to fight. That's what he wants.
So then
angry.
When the Bible says that no man has lived to have seen God, we're talking about God the Creator.
In all his glory.
God the Father.
Yeah. Now, Adam and Eve, in their what we call sin nature and everything, could they stand in the presence of God?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they had no sin. They had no sin. But after that, what happened? They hid themselves when they heard God walking in the garden. They hid themselves because no longer could they stand in his presence. And they shuddered and they tried to cover themselves. That's what we call man-made religion. But what they needed to do was repent and believe. And of course, then we have Genesis 3:15, where we have the promise of the first promise in the Bible, the Messiah. Did that answer your question? Okay. Any other questions? Yes. Yes. Okay, Joseph was actually the king. Anthony and Cleopatra put Herod the Great on the throne. They replaced the real lineage of the people of the kings of Israel with Herod. And Herod was not a descendant of Jacob. He was a descendant of Esau. Esau was not the covenant, not the heir. Jacob was the heir. So we have the wrong man on the throne. And Pontius Pilate looked into things and he said, "Well, Jesus should be on the throne. Behold, the king, Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews." And they said, "Oh, write down that he said that." And he said, "No, what I've written, I have written." He wrote it in his own handwriting. Pontius Pilate, that was the findings of the court. He wrote it with his own hand. And he said, "You're going to crucify. I cannot crucify innocent blood. What do you want me to do with him?" And then he washed his hands in the basin, and he said, "I'm innocent of this man's blood." And they said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children," and it has been ever since. But one of these days, they will see that Messiah in the clouds, and they'll cry as one cries for an only begotten son, and they will say, "What? Where did you get those wounds in your hands and your side and your feet?" And he said, "In the house of my friends," and they will cry and cry and cry. All right. Anything else?
Yes.
Yes.
Christine. Verse 4, where you have 8, and it says it's the limitation of thought or verbal action, which means it goes through.
It goes behind, actually, here.
Oh.
It's going backwards.
So what makes that? Because if it's a word or something that goes through something from, you know, point to point or whatever, what makes it here be before it?
Grammatically.
Wouldn't they?
Okay. People. People. What does that mean?
Horse.
What?
Horse.
People. No. People means, as a preposition, means under. You go under something. In. You go in it. Epi. You go upon it. Okay. And dia. You go through it. But what else? Pros, you go through it.
Toward it.
Pros, you go toward it. Toward it. And then we have ace, extension, or limitation of the thought of verbal action. You come to this point, which is baptism, because something happened back over here. You're looking back to repentance. You're baptized because of repentance. You're not baptized to get repentance. You're baptized to because of you've been saved. You're baptized because you've been saved.
So they can't. So, because my point was, couldn't they just interpret that then, like they do that?
Acts 2:38.
We say because of the remission of sins, and some people, Church of Christ says, yeah, for the remission of sins.
Acts 2:38. You're baptized for the remission of the sins, but here we have the same term. You're baptized because of the sending away your sins.
But what I meant was, if that verb means it can go up to it and look back, or it can go through it.
Extension and limitation means could be through it all. It could be upon it. It could be in it. It can be because of it before. Extension and limitation of thought or verbal action. Extension or limitation. Something went back here. All right? That's what happened back here. You repented and your mind was changed. Your whole attitude has changed. And then you call upon the Lord to save you when not all that happens.
So
and you're baptized because of the remission of the sins.
So ace is the limitation part of it.
Extension or limitation, yes.
Okay, so it's not the extension, it's the limitation.
Yeah, behind or forward. We will reign with Christ, ace, toni onion, unto all the ages. That's going forward and through.
I know, but
we're looking backwards. This,
right.
the action is backwards.
So what? But what I'm saying is, what makes us understand that in this part of the Bible, ace means look backwards?
What did Jesus? What did John demand of the Pharisees and the Levites and the Sadducees?
That they repent.
That's right. That they repent. Repent. Bring forth me fruit, showing that you have repented, and I will baptize you.
Okay. So it's the context of the whole.
The context, the whole idea. We know you're not baptized for the remission of sins, but because of the remission of sins. Yes.
In verse 5 down here in the bottom, they were vocal. They were confessing their sins.
They kept on saying out.
So they verbally confessed their sins.
Yes. They kept on confessing their sins for themselves. What?
Why don't we do that?
Well, we do.
Well,
who do you confess your sins to?
Jesus.
Yeah, to God.
Yeah.
All right. Do you keep on doing it? Yeah. You have to daily? Well, we keep on doing it for ourselves, middle boys.
But here they were publicly confessing their sins.
In the old church services, they had a mourner's bench. We don't have that. All we have stairs down there. But there was a place down there that they would call your mourners. They would say to the song leaders, call your mourners. And they come down and they start crying over their sins and crying over their sins and asking the Lord to forgive them. They weren't openly doing this to the whole congregation, but they were crying to God. Okay. And it says in the Bible, confess your sins on unto another. And that's talking about church members. And we're supposed to lift up one another. Okay? Lift up one another. I know we went and stayed for a long time tonight, but we started late too, because we had all kinds of problems. All right. Anything else? Christine, are you satisfied with that?
I am satisfied because I understand now.
Okay. Now, I also preached Romans 8 and 9 the other morning up there on the creek, so you can go listen to that too. You asked me questions about that.
I will.
So it's there.
Okay.
I'll go into it more deeper too later. All right. Let's go out and do something eternal then. Are you ready?